right. Hey, drivers. This is Darren Wingard, VP of Associate Relations. Welcome to the October 2025 Driver Town Hall. Appreciate all of you joining us today. Today's call is going to be hosted by Josh England, the president of CR England. So, Josh, if you're there, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Darren. Welcome, everybody, to our October Town Hall. It's great to be joined by members of the CR England team located all over the country, including members of the executive team who will help to answer questions here today. If you are in a truck, please make sure you are hands-free. I'd like to give a couple updates before we jump into our question and answer part here. It's on safe and on time every time. So last year we averaged 99.22% of our loads being both safe and on time. And this year we've increased that to 99.37, which is a 19% reduction in the percent of unsafe and late loads compared to last year. So we're, out of all the late loads we were having yet last year, we cut out 19% of those this year. So congratulations to all of you on that. This is a huge accomplishment. We're not done yet. Let's keep working on being safe and on time every
AI
time.
Is taking notes.
What makes the difference on this is it's creating the right daily habits. It's things like getting out and looking every time we back, no distracted driving, 5 miles an hour in parking lots, no fatigue driving, all those kinds of things. Your daily commitments are not a check-the-box exercise. They're the things that can make us safe and on time every time. So we're not quite there yet to every time, but we continue to improve and are performing at a high level as a team. And you should know that you're part of something world-class. Thank you for your attention to the little things that lead to the big things. And we're making great strides as a team. And we're so excited about that and so proud of you and of the company. I'd like to turn some time now to Eric Ekberg. Speaking of world class, he's our Director of Organizational Effectiveness, and he's going to talk about our World Series of Safety and Service. Go ahead, Eric.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. Good to be with everyone. The Blue Jays and Dodgers have been battling out, and they're going to be starting the World Series soon. We just saw that happen last night. But right here at CR England, our own World Series of Safety and Service is wrapping up as well. We've got 123 teams across dedicated, OTR, and intermodal. You're all grinding it out, giving your best every single day. And now, this is it. The final week of the regular season is upon us. That's this week. This is where champions are made. Every fleet huddle we attend, every daily commitment we make, every safety video you watch, every load that is safe and on time every time, it all adds up and helps your fleet win. Those are your base hits. Those are your home runs. Those are your highlight plays. That's how your fleet wins. So it's time to dig in. We can focus up together, play smart. The playoffs start in just 2 weeks, and four teams are going to walk away with the title of CR England World Series Safety and Service. Is that going to be your fleet? Well, that's up to you. This is the final push. Let's make it count. Finish strong. Play for each other. Play for everybody on your fleet, and make safety and service your winning game plan. Let's swing for the fences. Best of luck. And Josh, I'll turn it back to you.
All right. Thanks, Eric. I'm really excited to see which teams advance to the playoffs in our World Series of Safety and Service. Thank you for those comments, Eric. Now we'll invite Lori Akins, VP of Corporate Sales, to spotlight an important customer.
Thanks, Josh. Today, I am proud to highlight a customer who partners with us across all of our divisions, and that customer is Smithfield Foods. Founded in 1936 in Smithfield, Virginia, Smithfield Foods is an American food company that is the world's largest hog producer and pork processor. They are the leading producer of fresh pork and packaged meats under popular brands like Smithfield, Eckrich, and Nathan's Famous. Our relationship with Smithfield in the dedicated division began in 2009 and has since expanded to support five key locations. We provide a variety of services, including customer delivery, drayage, and shuttle operations with a total of 189 professional drivers. Here are a few highlights from the Smithfield dedicated operation. The Smithfield Legacy Fleet, the largest operation within this division, consists of 136 drivers running out of Tar Heel, North Carolina, and Smithfield, Virginia. This is a highly complex and dynamic fleet that we've successfully have grown over the years. Then there's Smithfield, Florida. They run out of Tar Heel, North Carolina, and do customer deliveries in Georgia and Florida. And then there is Smithfield, Arnold. They operate out of Tar Heel, and they go to the Smithfield plant in Arnold, Pennsylvania. We also have a drayage fleet, and they move freight from their Tar Heel and Clinton, North Carolina operations to the ports in Wilmington, North Carolina, and Norfolk, Virginia. And then Farmland Foods, the smallest dedicated fleet, runs out of Olathe, Kansas, to destinations in northern Texas. Now, in our OTR division, our partnership with Smithfield is strong as well, but a bit smaller. Early this year, OTR averaged 18 loads per week, but with new awards effective in August, we're now moving 32 loads per week out of Kansas, Indiana, Missouri, and Nebraska. And then finally, in our intermodal division, we have really gained momentum with Smithfield. A couple of years ago, we were moving fewer than 8 loads per week, and now we're averaging 21 loads per week, primarily supporting export lanes from Missouri to the port of Long Beach, California. Josh, we couldn't have grown like we have with Smithfield without being safe and on time. A huge appreciation to our drivers for supporting Smithfield across all of our divisions. Thank you for all that you do. Back to you, Josh.
Boy, no doubt about that. Credit goes to the great job our drivers are doing in servicing Smithfield for that growth that's come. And it's a many-year relationship at this point, and we're so appreciative of Smithfield. Thank you, Lori, for that profile. Now we'd like to open it up for our live question and answer period. Darren, could you give instructions?
Yeah. So drivers, if you have a question, if you want to jump in, first of all, just a reminder, make sure you are hands-free. Don't do anything unsafe. And if you have a question and you want to jump in, hit *6 on your phone, and that will put you in line for a question. And we do have a few that have already got in line. And Mycondra Caldwell from the AB dedicated fleet is first. So I'm going to click on you. And there we go. Do we have you?
Hey, good afternoon. Do you all ever think about building more terminals?
Could you repeat that? Building what?
I said, do you all ever think about building more terminals, like more terminals across the U.S.?
More terminals. Yeah. Good question. And did I catch your name right? Is it Chandra?
No, it's Mashandra.
Mashandra, I'm sorry. Yeah, so we do think about that. And in fact, we just here in just this year, in the last few months, we've opened a couple of new locations. So one is in Bakersfield, California, maintenance location, and another is in Marietta, Georgia. And we have activity underway to look at other sites. Last year we opened up Speedway in Texas, Fort Worth. So yes, we do open up terminals. Did you have a location in mind, Mashandra, that you're thinking about?
Well, I'm in Georgia. I've been to the one in Marietta, but I was thinking more like full service, kind of like the one in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Like that type of terminal. Yeah.
Right, right. Is there a particular service that you're interested in?
No, just everything, like to be able to go there, park, take showers, just like full service, kind of like the ones are on the West Coast.
Yep. Understood. We will keep that in mind, and where we see we have the density and the needs to do that, we will. So Dan Flanagan, did you have something you'd like to say on that as well?
Sure. Hi, Mashandra.
Hey.
Why are you laughing?
This is Diesel Dan Flanagan. He's our VP.
It's normal. It's okay. It's all good. It's normal.
Yeah, you're talking to a celebrity right now. I'm just letting you know that. So we are always looking for areas where we have a lot of traffic, and I say a lot of traffic where we have a lot of customers, where we're doing a lot of business with with vendors. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, dependent upon how big the facility is going to be, will depend on how much we can add the facility, as far as, you know, like a quiet room with recliners. We're setting that up right now in Bakersfield. We got a double wide trailer out there that we're setting up, which is going to be nice. And also vending machines, you know, extra restrooms. You know, we try to, when we move into facilities, look at the driver side. We're also looking at possibly opening up another larger area in the Fort Worth or the Speedway facility. And I know I've been out to the Atlanta or Marietta facility with Kenny, who's the shop manager out there. And as you know, it's not as big, but it's mm-hmm. nice. It's got a nice break room, but it's not a very big facility. But we always keep that in mind when we look at opening facilities, as far as what can we do for the drivers to get the drivers to come in, and when they're waiting for their equipment to be repaired, to be comfortable while they're there. And thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Another thing I'll point out is we have negotiated with Love's, for instance, to have all of our drivers have the highest status in their awards program, to such that you can get free showers there. So that's something that can help when you're on the road and not near your home or near a terminal. So thank you, Ms. Chandra, for that question.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next up is James Scarborough, speaking of Smithfield. James, did we get you?
Yeah, I'm still here. How you doing today?
James? Doing great. How are you?
All right. Yeah, my question is I'm trying to go from the position that I'm in right now with Smithfield to Dredge, and it seems like I keep getting a runaround, and I don't know what to do.
James, so you're trying to switch from a role at Smithfield to what other role?
To the Smithfield Dredge.
To the Smithfield Dredge, understood.
Yeah,
okay.
I've been waiting two and a half years. I trained 2.5 years ago, and but I keep getting pushed to the side and hiring new drivers and putting them straight in the dredge, and they keep pushing me to the side.
Thank you for your service, James. We appreciate you. And we're going to ask John Ottenwiss, Vice President and Dedicated, to speak to that.
Hey, James. This is John Ottenwiss. I will take this question with you offline. As soon as this is over, I'll reach out to you, and we'll get all the answers you need for this, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, John, and thank you, James. Sure appreciate you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is another James, James Hatch from Walmart Casa. Are you there, James?
Yes. How you guys doing? Good morning. Well, it's morning here still.
Good morning.
I'm down here on the JE suite of the Walmart dedicated, and had a couple of questions. One of them is platform science related, so maybe your tech gurus can answer that. And the other one is process related. As far as the process related goes, one of the things that we are still required to do is pull the shipping labels, the tags, the stickers, whatever you want to call them. We're still required to do that here. And I've been told numerous times, I understand that if it's in the contract, it's in the contract, that Walmart wants us to do that. My question, I guess, basically is why. And it's not because I or any other drivers have a problem pulling stickers. It is the issue. The issue is that what I think happened was when our DC learned that we were going to QR, that Walmart was going to QR codes, there is absolutely no care given to how those labels are going on the freight now. I understand it's not a hard thing to pull a sticker. When it's done in a way that makes it, we're able to actually pull them. What I'm seeing from warehouse frequently is stickers that are labels that are, the backing is peeled completely off, and the label is pressed down hard to the cardboard box, or the label is taken, put on plastic, shrink wrap, so the pallet is shrink wrapped, the label's put on the plastic, and then it's shrink wrapped again.
Uh-huh.
Get the call for the drivers. We have an issue pulling tags.
You're fighting through shrink wrap to get to the sticker.
Yep.
And you can't pull a sticker off of loose plastic. And we were all taught in second grade, don't put stickers on plastic. They don't come off. But right. The labels actually have a backing that has a but
uh-oh.
Going on. These stickers are going on.
Did we lose him?
Oh, shoot. We're,
no. No.
We might be losing James. James,
sorry,
you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Yeah,
yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, in and out.
Okay, sorry. There's a little dead spot around here on my way to work. But the labels are being put on the sides of soft packages, like dog food bags and juices and things that, you know, that are soft, and so the labels get crushed, and we're fighting with it to get them off. So again, the issue is not taking the tag. That's minor. It's the time-intensive labor, and it's not hard to do, I understand, but yeah. We've got to do 3 pallets a day like that per boat, and we're in the way of the guys in the back of the stores with the e-jacks. It's not the issue of taking the sticker. It's the difficulty that it has become once we went to those QR codes. And my question ultimately, why are we still pulling? If Walmart is scanning QR codes, and I understand it might have been in the contract before and there was a reason for that, it was for accountability. But if Walmart is scanning QR codes, then you can't miss a pallet. You would have to intentionally miss a pallet, and you can't get one off that's not theirs because it tells them to put it back on the truck. If there were an issue with scanners that, like maybe that store's scanners were down that day, okay, we'll pull tags for that store that day, and that would be an indication that that store had an issue.
I think it's a good question, James. Why don't we offer, Charlie Greenswig, if you're on.
FM, Josh.
Dedicated. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Charlie. Could you speak to that?
I sure can. Hey, James, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's a bit frustrating. I get it. We're in the second year of a transition from the paperwork that you're most familiar with to the new RF system. It should have been done in about 3 months. They've had several issues on their side, technical issues, whether it's rewriting code and all that. With that, as far as the contract just basically says that we are going to follow whatever process that they need. It's more detailed towards cybersecurity and things like that.
So
we're technically not doing anything that we shouldn't be doing. We're being a good partner in this. You're certainly being a good partner by being patient. I certainly will run this back up to them. We meet with them again tomorrow. We meet every week. See if I can get you a better status on when.
Just so you know, and I have spoken to other individuals, other people in the company. Not every yard is pulling these. Some yards aren't doing it, and there doesn't seem to be an issue with that. So I'm wondering, it's a consistency. Now, I'm not saying that because I want all of the other yards to have to pull them. I don't. But if the issue with the labels was accountability, well, we have that on our tablets, and it's just not. We're fine.
Yeah,
some
of the issues
that we have to do it. So
some of the issues, James, stem right there in CASA. So it's not a fair comparison to the other facilities. And some of them are the stores. We do see that in the other locations. We don't see it as bad as it is in CASA. But I've taken some notes here. I certainly want to address that shrink wrap piece, too. That's just making things more hard for you.
Yeah, it's, you know, don't put stickers on plastic. That just – there you go. The other question
James,
I had real
quick,
and I realized –
appreciate that,
James.
Yeah, it sounds like Walmart's in some transition on this, and it sounds like Charlie's going to ask them about it. So, yeah, you mentioned you had a a question also about your tablet?
Yeah, so you might be the guy for this too. So I had an issue just yesterday.
Probably won't, but there are smarter people on the line.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Story of my life right there. That's me. So I had an issue yesterday where I'm getting hit with what is now what's called an internal late. And it is when we do a departure or an arrival and a departure on the tablet too close together. And I understand the need to keep, you know, to keep things cohesive and have the, you know, have a flow of information. And it doesn't look right when you have an arrival at 12:01 and a departure at 12:02. That doesn't make sense. I understand that.
Yep.
My issue is that when we have an issue on the tablet where we do the arrival and hit the submit button and it doesn't go through, maybe there are a couple of areas in Arizona. Sholo is one, occasionally Pace in Arizona. Once in a while, I think Lake Havasu City. But there are some areas where signal's not great, and maybe it doesn't go through right away. So yesterday, I got hit with an internal late, which takes my bonus, which is only about $16 for that 1%. I mean, I'm not sweating the money. It's the principle, because I don't have late. Most of us don't. You guys just said we're 99.4% on time. But to lose a piece of our bonus is one thing, but we have the responsibility for the tablet and making sure we're doing it, but no authority or ability to correct it. And the only thing that we can do is call our office and have them check every arrival and departure for us to make sure that they went through. And there's 150 CR England drivers on our yard, or 150-ish. That would be hundreds of phone calls a day if every driver had to check. So the accountability process, part of it I understand. It's that when we do have a malfunction, and I didn't catch it. I got the message on my tablet, said that I had an internal late, and they explained to me in the office last night what it was. But when it's an issue with the tablet and we're still held responsible for something that we can't control, part of it is that I just don't like having a late on my record because I don't have late.
Yeah, James, thanks for taking pride in your on-time service. That is so important, and we appreciate that. So are you saying the reason that you got that internal late was because there was a problem with the tablet?
Because I know when I hit the Lake Havasu City store, I submitted my arrival. And I know when I left, I submitted my departure. Told in the office when I got back was that the arrival and the departure were too close, meaning like they were only like a minute or so apart, which there's no way it could have been a minute or so. What I'm thinking happened, but the signal just didn't go through, and it didn't get recorded when I first arrived at the store.
So maybe it was a signal latency issue that bunched them together when you actually sent them at separate times. Okay, understood. You know, Charlie or Danielle, have you guys dug into that issue of how it records the times when there is system latency, when there's, or not latency, but basically a cell phone black hole? Any comments on that one?
Yes, I can comment on that. So Platform Science has something they built on the tablets, which they call Store and Forward. So even if your tablet is in a bad location, as long as you're submitting those calls, once it gets back into a cell location, it will pick up that information and send it through at the original time. So if there's a concern about a specific stop or late load coding, I would definitely get with your operations folks. I'll turn it over to Charlie for this one, or maybe John Ottenwest. I would definitely get with your operations folks about that, because coding is specific to each division and each account.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, 1% bonus is 1%. It adds up. That's not what I was asking for. I'm not after that money necessarily. It's nice, but I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I would take it. But it's just the perception that I'm not doing the job correctly, and
yeah.
I know that, I don't have late delivery ever, And I know most of the fleet, 99-point-something of the fleet is like that. So when we do have a tablet issue, it's that responsibility with no authority. We don't have the ability to change it, and we have to actually make more work for our office staff in order to try to fix it.
Yeah, let me dig into that one as well, James. I echo what Danielle said. You know, we see it all the time where there might be some latency, but as long as the calls are done, they will resequence themselves in our what we see in our systems. And also, we do quite a bit of scrubbing against Walmart system, which is in transit. So let me get with the people on the ground in your location and see if they're familiar of anything else. But this is the first time hearing of that.
Thank you, Charlie. And James, we have a little text chat going on the side that helps us coordinate on answering these questions. And we've identified the one that you're talking about. So we have the data we can dig into. Charlie, if you'd take the lead on chasing this one through and get back to James, that would be great. Okay.
And can I ask one more question? I realize I said two and I've been on the phone too long already, but one more on the in-transit part of it.
James. One more,
On the in-transit part of it, the Walmart receiving areas, they're showing ETAs that are hours off. And I understand the ETA is an ETA. You can't plan your life on an ETA. But what we're being told by the stores is that they don't always get the notification when we're a mile out, or that I think it's a mile or half a mile when they get notified that we're there. We don't always, they're telling us that they're not getting that signal. They're not getting that notification on their tablets, on their work phones. And so drivers are waiting outside and having to walk around, you know, massive super centers occasionally. And it's a frustration and it's a time killer. But the ETA part of it, they've shown me their tablets where I've been there, hit my arrival, and they don't record it on their end as an arrival. It still shows the ETA. I've seen ETAs that were off by 8 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours tends to be the norm. But there's something going on internally in the in-transit side of it where they're not getting accurate ETAs. And they're not all receiving. They say they're not. I don't know. I know that our office manager has been inside some of the stores and has heard the notification go off on their phones. So I don't know what the issue is, if that's a store issue or if that's an in-transit issue, but that's what's happening. Hmm. And I'll get off. Thanks for all your time.
James, thank you. Really appreciate that feedback. And you raised an interesting question there. Who on the line
can take
speak
that.
To that one?
Yeah, go I can ahead. Take that, Josh.
Charlie. Yeah.
So there's a. I just had a meeting with Walmart, as a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago on that very topic, and they claim to have a compliance issue with the stores, meaning the system's doing what it's supposed to be doing, but the store's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now that's you've said that you've actually seen the data yourself. I can tell you what we see on this side, and we do see initially when we launch a truck, we do see those wide open ETAs, but then as the truck's moving, it will clear itself up. Let's you and I get together. We'll get together to local management as well. You know, more of these examples that we come up with, the more we can give the customer and they can drill down to it and find out, is it a system issue or is it a compliance issue?
Yeah, or it could be a combination. It's a combination
could
of
be.
Both.
Sure.
Okay, guys, I appreciate your time. Thanks
good.
For letting me take us so much.
Appreciate it, James, and thank you, Charlie,
James.
For chasing those things down. It sounds like we
will do.
We need examples like that so we can identify the issues and address them. So appreciate that. Let's go for our next question.
Okay, sticking with CASA, Bridget Marshall. You there, Bridget? I think you're muted on your side.
Good morning, Ball.
Hey, how
Hi,
you
Bridget.
Doing?
I'm here. Hi, good morning, guys. I just had a question, if this is possible for, I'm assuming it will be for orientation or training. So most of the calls I've been getting on the road team is about drivers looking for, like, road service or their office number. So here for the Walmart dedicated account, we have, like, a badge. On our badge, it has our name and our driver code. In the back of our badge, it has the driver service number, road service number, accident hotline, and office number. The most important numbers that we use offhand. Would it be possible for all of our new drivers to have something like that. So when they have questions or concerns, it's right there ready for them. Like, all they got to do is flip over their badge and those main numbers are there instead of scrolling into their app. And most of them don't even know where their contacts are in their app. The drivers I've been
talking to. Yeah, Bridget, thank you for being a road team member. We sure appreciate you. You're doing a great deal of good for the Sierra England family, and so thank you for that. So, yeah, you kind of refer to it of in the CRE Toolbox app, all those contacts are there. So for those on the phone who don't know where in the app that is, so you just have the main menu. You hit the three, line hamburger menu thing, and it pulls up all the things that are in the app, and there's one called Contacts. And under that, you have My Contacts, which is your specific, operations contacts, for the fleet that you're on. You also have Who to Call When, and so that's a subject-based list. So it'll say, if you need, if you have fuel-related issues, there's a little drop-down that'll take you to the contacts of who you call there. And then there's a third section there called Departments, and then it has every department listed there. And so for the example, of finding road service, there's a road service section there, and you tap on that, and it'll actually even just call that number right from that tap. It'll bring up a little thing that says, are you sure you want to call? And then you call. Those are some of the resources that are in everybody's toolbox app. This was recently updated, and so the information in there is fresh and should be accurate. We'd love to hear about it if there are any gaps in that. Bridget, you suggested, you have there at CASA where you have a lanyard with a name tag, and on the back you have a series of contacts. That's an interesting idea that we'll take in consideration. One of the challenges is we have people onboarding all over the country in different places, but maybe that would be a way we could standardize that. But for now, the one that should always be accurate and out there is the one in the toolbox. We also have some resources in the permit book that's there in the cab of the truck. So you'll find some contact information in there as well. Does that answer the question, Bridget?
Yeah, I would just try to see if we could be, if the numbers could be more, more available for them just to right offhand. Because when they call us on the road team, or when they call me, I always end up giving them the number. I also let them know where the number is, but 90% of the drivers that are calling us, they don't even know where to look for
yeah.
these contacts. Yeah.
Have you attempted to point them to that section of the toolbox? Just curious what the feedback has been when you get them in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then most of them don't even know when they're looking in their toolbox and they're looking at contacts. I have them go to say, most of them go, okay, do I have to call this person? Like they don't even understand it. They don't even know who to call for.
Who? Okay.
I think it's a lack of training on the mentor side, or their lack of drivers not paying attention. That's the issue that's happening when they call us on the road team. Most of the phone calls that I'm getting is
Bridget.
Yes.
Hi, Bridget. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I personally believe strongly that the app is the best place for people to get the number, just because that way it's always updated, and when we have numbers change,
Bridget probably knows your voice, but others might not. Would you introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Bridget. This is Wayne Cederholm, Vice President of Driver Recruiting and Development. And so you actually have given me a great idea here. We used to do this Who to Call When, and it was part of the app that they could actually go through and click each person or each role, and it would go through and it would show them. It was a manual. We will produce a video that can walk through and just say, who would you call in what situation? And then that way they can refer to the video and the app to get those numbers. And we'll work on that.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
Jess Greenwald, could you speak to this issue as well?
Yeah, hi, Bridget. This is Jess Greenwald, Director of Driver Systems. I agree that the toolbox is definitely the right place for it. That being said, the mentees are definitely overwhelmed when they start, and knowing who to call is always going to be difficult. It is. And that who to call section in the app is a really, really good resource because it's searchable. As long as we're going in there and keeping it up to date, we should be able to add anything in there real time. And so any feedback that you're getting, if you want to send that to me or Darren or to Chrissy or whomever, we're able to go in and update that, and it becomes a knowledge base, basically. I have a question on my paycheck. I need to know what to do about this situation. And that's why we built it. That is a new feature. It's only been live for a few months. But the purpose of it is you guys are getting these standard questions about who to call in what situations. We can go and add them to the app immediately with direct links for who to call. And so that's what I would recommend. That's going to be the best place for the mentees, especially because when they're in these, like, we call them holder buckets, the context might not be exactly correct. And that's the difficult part of the mentees in the toolbox. But that who to call section is an amazing resource. And if you have specific questions, send them in to us, and we'll get them updated on that section.
Thank you for
Thank
that,
you.
Jess. Yeah. Okay. All right. Bridget, sure appreciate that. And thank you again for all the work you do to try to help people get up to speed. There is a lot to learn. Like Jess said, you know, there's just so much you're faced with, and you might not even know who you need to call. That was a good point you made, Bridget. So very good. All right. Let's move to our next question.
Thanks, Bridget. Okay. Alejandro, you are up next.
Good morning, and hope everybody's
hey,
doing okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. My question is this. Can somebody explain to me what blackout dates are?
Blackout dates. In what context?
My understanding, policy, CRM and policy, is that you have to give 2 weeks' notice before you take days off.
Okay, so we're talking for vacation time.
Okay.
What fleet are you on, Alejandro?
I'm a volunteer right now for the Harbor Freight fleet. I was in the Budweiser fleet. And when I was in the Budweiser fleet, I was told that we have to give you guys two weeks prior to when we take our home time. And I come to this fleet, and they're talking about blackout dates. And I'm like, well, wait a minute.
When you can't take off. Okay. I'm with you.
And, I can speak to that, Charlie.
Slow start there. Go ahead. Was that Charlie?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
I missed your name, sir. What was it?
My name is Alejandro.
Alejandro, thank you. It's pretty common and dedicated to have blackout dates. I can speak for the other divisions. And with that, you're certainly correct on the 2 weeks advanced request time. You can request a lot longer than that if you want to. And then the blackout dates, for example, in the Walmart world, when it gets closer to our peak season, which is now, there'll be blackout dates around Thanksgiving holiday, maybe around Christmas Eve. And there'll be specific dates that will push drivers in months in advance and say, you got to grab that now while it's open. But that's what a blackout date means. It means we're so busy, we need to get everybody on deck. If the volume doesn't come through, then we'll start handing out days. But we don't want to overcommit.
Okay. So I've given notice. I gave notice. All the time I take my hometown dates, it's about I give them like about 4 to 6 weeks mm-hmm. in advance. And I guess that's still ain't enough. Because I'm being denied on that as well. And it's just, it seems to me like it's an ultimatum. Either we take this holiday off or that holiday off. But what happens to all the national holidays throughout the whole year that you don't have blackout dates?
Typically what I see, Alejandro, is blackout dates are associated with heavy periods. It's not necessarily a holiday. For example, the 4th of July may be very heavy in Walmart, but maybe in Staples it's not. You know, so they wouldn't have the same blackout periods that my group has. I can speak directly to the Harbor Freight business. Tracy Brown is the VP's on a plane. But I can certainly get back to you with specifics on it.
This goes out to, what's his name on, the VP Hall? Another thing that comes to my attention as well, that we're driving far, far away, and we're coming back empty. And my understanding that we're supposed to be conserving fuel, not wasting fuel.
Yeah, so you referred to Ron Hall, Vice President of Fuel and Equipment. He is not on the call today, but we do have Kendra from the Fuel Department. So, sorry, what was your question about that, Alejandro?
We're driving, like, right now I have this load. I'm going to Colorado. It's a one-way. And then after that, I got to come back Deadhead.
Yeah.
And around these times of the year, wind is really heavy, and we have to shut down. So we're waiting. You don't know when the wind's gonna come. You know, stop. You don't know when how Mother Nature works. But even when what I was saying is that we're driving deadhead back all the way.
Yeah.
To our water.
I hear you. Not so much a fuel department question, more of a deadhead question. John Odenwiss, VP and Dedicated, could you speak to that?
Yes, sir. Alejandro, you're driving for the HO fleet, correct?
Correction.
Yeah, so right now that fleet is kind of in a startup mode for us right now, and it's a quasi-OTR fleet, and we're currently working our way to get a backhaul network established in that area. So for the next couple of months, this might happen, but ideally we would like to fill these loads, and we're in the process of filling these loads. So bear with us as we do this.
I appreciate that. Like I said, CR England is part of my family, and I'm just looking out. I'm just wondering what's going on around here. It's just like, sometimes I'm like, well, what the heck? What's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, so
I'm glad you're concerned about that, because those are long deadheads. So being worked out. So appreciate you bringing that up.
No problem. Appreciate you guys, what you guys have done, and my condolences to the CR England family as well.
Thank you.
I know Gene's anniversary is coming up, and I remember Gene.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to meet him?
I sure did, and I was trying to, but when I did, he mostly was at home.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah. Well, appreciate those thoughts. And he was such a good man, leaves a legacy that we all are carrying on. So thank you for the way you're doing it.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alejandro. Next up, it's Quinn Brown from the Kroger fleet in Denver. We got you, Quinn.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Quinn.
How's it doing?
So, pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
So my initial question is, so I got a brand new Freightliner, and when I first got it, it initially the sleeper berth air system. Actually, I apologize ahead of time. I got an almost year-old here at home, so if you hear some screaming, that is him.
Okay.
Initially the... It's okay, buddy.
There he is. All right, we'll take it. Hey, we are family.
Well, hopefully once he gets old enough, I'm going to try and get him to join the company as well.
Love it.
But initially, so with the brand new Freightliner, I've been getting mixed messages about the DC climate system for the sleeper berth when the truck is off. It worked when I first got the truck. It initially worked for like 5 minutes, and then it quit working. And so anytime I do a DVIR, I put in the climate system doesn't work in the back of the sleeper. I've watched a couple of videos off the QR code that it has in the truck, and it says to initially go into optimized idle. If that doesn't work, shut the system off, turn it back on, check breakers, fuses. I'm not a diesel mechanic or a truck mechanic by all means, so I don't want to mess with any of the fuses or breakers or anything like that. But I've been getting messages through the CR toolbox saying that I have to go to either a Loves, a TA, or a Speedco, and then I've been getting told that I have to go to drive the truck either back to Salt Lake City or bring it to a Freightliner dealership to initially get the system fixed. So I'm not entirely sure how I need to get that fixed. And with it, I mean, just this yesterday morning, it was snowing by the Eisenhower Pass, and sleeping in that area when it's snowing, it gets kind of cold. And I mean, mm-hmm. we don't want to waste fuel while idling. So having that system would be very handy.
When it works. We hear you. Diesel Dan Flanagan.
Hello, Quinn. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. Hey, you need to get that truck to a Freightliner dealer. If you take it to a Loves and or a TA, they might not have the skill set that's needed for that system. Typically, they can fix just about anything, they being TA or Loves, at a truck stop, but it is a system that's specifically knowledgeable with the Freightliner dealer group. So you need to get to a Freightliner. Okay. It's a new system. There are some quirks sometimes, but it doesn't sound like it's working properly. But that's where you need to take it. If you got any other questions, let the road service agent know that we spoke, and they can check with me if there's a problem there. But you need to get it to a Freightliner dealer. I'm sorry, but that's all I can help you with as far as get that thing going, but that's where you need to take it.
Okay, one other thing. So it says I have to put the truck in optimized idle, but just this morning I actually got a message saying that optimized idle isn't effective in these newer trucks. I'm guessing just so we preserve gas as much as possible and we don't initially waste it and we try and save the economy as much as possible. Do you happen to know if there's a reason why the optimized idle is an option in the truck, but they have it so it doesn't actually function?
No, it should function. So while you're in there, get it checked out, and it may have something to do with your DC climate also, but that should be working.
Okay.
And keep in mind, the optimized idle is set up for two reasons, or two specific reasons, and one's going to be battery voltage, and also temperature control. It'd be high temperature or low temperature control. So, yeah, get it in, get it checked out. Tell them you've got an issue with your DC climate and your optimized idle. And also, to make sure while you're in there, if you're not familiar with those systems, at the Freightliner dealer, or bring it to one of our shops if you're around, of course, get them to walk through that system with you to show you all the functions of the system to be more familiar with it, okay?
Okay. For bringing it into a Freightliner shop, would I have to initially do that as a on-duty and driving thing and initially not accept any loads to get the truck fixed, or is there a way I can get the truck brought to a Freightliner dealership, which honestly in Colorado, I don't even know where there is any, but if there is one, yeah, do I have to drive it there myself, or is there a way to get it there without me staying so much time, depending on how much time it takes to get it fixed away from my family?
What you can do is take it to the closest shop to your home and drop it off and get a ride back to your house, or wait for the truck to get fixed. They can diagnose it pretty quickly and let you know how long it's going to take to get it fixed. And it might be, you know, a couple of different trips, but work with those guys and your dispatcher, your operations group, to make sure that they understand you got to get it in, you got to get it fixed. And, of course, work closely with the road service group to make sure they understand that you got to get it in and get it fixed.
And there's a Freightliner dealer right there in Denver, Transwest, I think. Transwest, yeah. So, but work through road service and your fleet manager.
Cool. Thank you, Quinn.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah, no, thank Quinn? You guys. I appreciate your help.
Thank you. Hope we can get it fixed up for you and get you a warm cab.
I mean, born and raised in Colorado, you kind of just deal with the cold, but if you get warm, it's nice.
All right. Thanks, Quinn. Appreciate you.
Okay, next up, it is, oh, wow, a brand new driver, Leanne, if you're there. I just unmuted you. Leanne from the Dollar Tree Ridgefield account, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Leanne.
How are you?
Can you hear me? Hi, guys.
Yes.
Great. I have an amazing mentor, and I have a really great fleet manager, so I'm extremely happy with
that. Awesome. That's great.
So the problem that I'm having is on the to-dos, you know, there was the safety video, and then there's two other ones that are already due, past due. So for 4 days, I kept trying to watch the safety video, and I wasn't able to. So my fleet manager was able to let me watch it on his computer, but it wouldn't accept that I had watched it.
Yeah.
Finally, yesterday morning, it allowed me to, but it won't let me watch the other two. I talked to IT. I uninstalled the app. I've reset my phone. We even went online. Online, it says I have no to-dos. And so I'm trying to get these done because they're mandatory, and it's not allowing me to do that.
Yeah. Sorry about that. We'll ask Jess Greenwald to address that.
Hi, Leanne. Welcome to the company. First off, I'm sorry that's happening to you. Either myself or somebody on my team will call you after this, and we can complete those for you. What I'll tell you is you came at a perfect time. This is a brand new system for us to get all of our training done. And we are finding some quirks with it that we need to fix. It's only been live for 3 weeks. So if you're having a problem, we can either help you through it, or that means you found a bug that we need to fix, which is good. So we'll call you. We'll go through it. We can complete them for you. I can see you have two to-dos pending. It looks like there's a backing and a turns video. But we'll give you a call. We'll work through it. And I appreciate everyone's patience. You just came at the opportune time that it's a brand new system, and we're still working through some of those quirks.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jess, and thanks, Leanne. We have your phone number, so we'll give you a ring.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Leanne. Next up is Marcus. Where are you at, Marcus? Marcus Bailey, get in here.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Doing great. How are you, Marcus?
All right. It's Marcus from the road team. First off, I just want to say I appreciate you guys taking the time to do this every month to hear us out, and so I appreciate that. So my question is, I was speaking to my account manager, Jamie Carter. I'm on the GP fleet here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We were talking.
Yeah.
I know fuel and idle have been a big topic here. Not so much an issue for my fleet, but we were discussing ways to try to help this issue with some of our other fleets. So my question, I guess, would be for Jess. I know you're pretty busy, you know, all the time, but we were discussing maybe trying to find something maybe we could put in our driver profiles. Maybe if we're able to see where our idle percentages are at the time. You know, if you can see it, you can probably do say, oh, my idle percentage is pretty high this month. You know, maybe I should, you know, and same with fuel compliance to see where we are, you know, as a driver. With our fuel compliance, or I see, oh, my fuel compliance is, you know, I've been out of compliant now, or whatever, you know, just we are discussing to see if there's something we might can do to make that visible to the drivers, you know, maybe be a little more fuel and idle conscious.
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Marcus. Love that suggestion. Boy, if you can see it, you can manage it and improve it, and
right.
We can do better on that. So I think there are some efforts underway on this. Can we ask Kenna, who leads the fuel department, to speak to that?
Sure. Hi. So that's a great question, and it's actually something that Jessica and I have been working on. As we rolled out the idle accountability in March and the fuel compliance about a year ago, it will be about a year here now in December where we've really pushed that full throttle on getting all that done. Jessica and I have been working together on getting something added to the toolbox. As we've listened to the call today, there's a lot of effort and time going into that toolbox to make it perfect for the drivers to see that knowledge right off the bat. And so as Jess and I continue to work on that, this is something. I don't have a confirmed date of when that idle and fuel compliance will be available on the tablet, or I'm sorry, on the toolbox. As I mentioned, Jess and I are working on that. But for now, if you do have some questions on your fuel compliance and on your idle accountability scores, we do supply a weekly report to all divisions with that information, and the fleet managers, account managers can assist with that. But we are working to your original question. We are adding and working on getting something for the toolbox.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a suggestion. You know, I thought it was a good idea and thought now would be a good time to maybe mention it. So good to hear it.
Absolutely.
In the works. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea, question, Marcus, and thank you.
And thank you, Kenna. And Marcus, thank you for your services on the road team. Next question.
Okay, next up is, let's see here, Frank Rodriguez. Clicking on you, Frank. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, good. How are you, Frank?
I'm good. I want to say thank you for the opportunity to work in the Target account in Lake City, Florida.
Oh, nice. That's great.
My question is, they keep telling me that they're gonna get new trucks, and I keep jumping on and off in different truck. Every time I come back to get another load, they keep me switching. Like last week, I drove like 5 different trucks, and sometimes it's hard for me to keep up, like bringing food, because I don't have a cooler. I don't have a truck set up for myself to get settled, and then I get into people's truck and I have to keep moving their stuff so I can get my stuff in, and it's kind of hard because last week me moving around in different trucks, I missed my keys. I put my keys and I couldn't find my car key, so I had to call like a car guy who fixed to do my keys for the car to get home. So I keep. Then my question is, when I gonna get like a truck that I can get settled into it, not switching all the time?
Yeah, good question, Frank, and appreciate all you do there in Lake City.
Okay.
Why don't we have John Ottenwiss, VP and Dedicated, get with you after the call to work through that issue. We've got your phone number, Frank, and
okay.
And I think we got some opportunities there to in that situation. So thank you for that.
Okay.
We let's see. We are up on time. I know that we have
a number of drivers in the queue, and I'm sorry we can't get to you this time. Hopefully we can catch you next time, or you can reach out to any one of us, between calls as well. So we're anxious to hear your feedback or to help with whatever we can help with. I do want to point out something important about our new EFS cards. We'll ask Kenna Wilson to give a reminder on that. Go ahead, Kenna.
Perfect. Thank you so much. As Ron Hall mentioned in the October safety video, we are moving away from the ComData fuel cards and moving over to the WEC/EFS fuel cards. And I just want to commend each of you for taking on the tasking of getting that new fuel card, working with your account managers, fleet managers at your dedicated sites, and also at our Sierra England terminal sites, and picking up those new EFS cards. This is phase one of phase two. Phase one, as Ron mentioned, is getting those new fuel cards. And so please reach out if you haven't received your fuel card yet. Please reach out to either the fuel department, myself, or your fleet manager. They can direct you on how to get that card. And then as we continue to finalize the programming and stuff of moving to the money codes, there'll be a second phase two mentioned about how to get money codes, because we will be switching from the ComData Express codes to the EFS money codes. There'll be some more information that will come out to you shortly with regards to that. But for now, if you wouldn't mind just working on making sure that you do have that new EFS card in hand, we'll be working on a conclusion date, which will come out in messages leading after this about when we'll be cutting ComData off. But I just want to make sure that we don't have any interruptions in the fueling. So if you could just work again on getting that EFS card, that would be great. And Josh, I'll Excellent. Turn it back over to you. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you, Kenna. We will conclude it there. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you for all you're doing, and be safe out there. Take care.